for the first time in my life, I've used a PowerPoint. So the fill-ins are in the back of your intermission sheets, if you want to use that. Just before I start, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come to help us understand your word. And Lord Jesus, I pray that the words that I have prepared can mean something to the people here. It can relate to them. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Just before I look at what the actual text for today was, I just want to quickly run through the little bit at the beginning of chapter 14 that we didn't read. Because it helped me understand it better. We've got five kings forming an alliance against four kings. The five kings were led by Chedorlaomer. The five kings all came from the Jordan River Valley. I've tried to find a map that was good enough. it was really difficult to find one. I wish I showed up on the screen properly, but hopefully, if not, you will be able to see where they traveled and how far they traveled. So the five kings came from the Jordan River Valley. They were pretty well clustered around the south end of the Salt Sea. The other alliance came mostly from Mesopotamia. The river valley formed at the junction of the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. This means that the army headed by Chedorlaomer was more than 1,000 miles away from home. So it was a long travel for them. Now, for 12 years, the five kings and cities of the Jordan River Valley had been paying tribute to Chedorlaomer. I shouldn't have put that word in so many times, should I? A king who lived more than 1,000 miles away. From this, we can only conclude that Chedorlaomer was the head of a swift and powerful army. In the 13th year, the five kings of the Jordan River Valley rebelled and stopped paying tribute. So in the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him made a 1,000-mile-plus journey to the Jordan River Valley and defeated, among others, the Jordan River Valley Alliance. Chedorlaomer and those with him then looted the five cities and hauled off the inhabitants as captives. Now this is, as we read today, this is where Lot finds himself in trouble, and him along with many other people got taken as captive. And Colin preached us 2 weeks ago, and we learned that Abraham told Lot to choose where he wanted to live. He chose the plain of Jordan as it was well watered. In other words, he chose the place that looked the best, even though this was also next to the city where the people were sinning greatly against the Lord. But he, being a human being, he naturally wanted what was best for himself and his people. And he just didn't consider the fact that he was going to be living next to sinful people. Now we need to be aware of the same thing in our lives when we make our decisions. When we make decisions, this is fill in number one. Are we considering what effect it will have on our relationships, our relationship with God, when we make decisions? As Lot and his family was taken away, Lot must have been regretting his decision to take advantage of Abraham. He made his decision of where he wanted to live purely for financial reasons and ended up as a slave, with all his people and possessions carted off. What is worth to take a note of is that in Genesis chapter 13, that we read two weeks ago, it says that Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. However, in the chapter we read today, in verse 12, it tells us they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions since he was living in Sodom. Now, would the story have been different if he didn't join the wicked men of Sodom instead of staying outside of the town. I wasn't there, I don't know, but I've got a feeling that it might have been a different story for him. Now, I'm asking the kids loads of questions this morning, but a few questions. I'm going to ask you a question. 25 years ago, many people can remember that far back, something happened 25 years ago. Does anybody know what it's the 25th anniversary of? It happened later in the year, but it happened in 1993. I'll just help you. 25 years ago, 1993. I suspect that nobody will know, but I'm thinking about those of you closer to me will have a, should maybe know, but this, I've been trying to hide my sermon notes from my family so they wouldn't see them in case they started asking me questions. 25 years ago, in a way, I went my own way. I moved here. It makes me feel old now. That was 25 years ago. As you, most of you will know, I came here to work for the YMCA for a year. As my dad has always told me, it's been a very long year. Now, in no way whatsoever am I comparing Dumfries with Sodom. I was purely comparing the fact that I kind of went my own way. Now, my parents weren't pleased, especially when I told them that I was staying here for good. But and even to this day, they keep mentioning to me that I probably should have stayed home. But they've always supported me, as I said, whilst always along the way reminding me that they miss me. But luckily enough for Lot, one man managed to escape and get the news to Abram that Lot had been taken captive. Now, the next bit in the text made me laugh a little bit, because when we learn in chapter 13 that Abram and Lot's families were too big to share the land, I kind of thought they were talking about 20 people in each family and some animals, which of course would have taken up a lot of space. But here we see that Abram called out 318 men born in his house. Now I kind of understand why there wasn't enough space for them all to live together. Now, if we were in Abram's position, would we have tried to go after Lot and attempt to get him freed? I would kind of like to think we would. However, there were plenty of reasons for Abram not to bother. I mean, Abram and his men could have been killed if it went wrong. And after all, Lot was just getting what he deserved after being greedy. This is fill-in number two. However, Abram had God on his side, and he trusted God to protect him. We read about God's promise to Abram in the beginning of verse 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Using his great military mind, Abram led his men, and a surprise attack from various sides sees him victorious. Verses 17 to 19 is quite interesting, as it reminds us of something very important. When Abram returned, he was met by the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom, no doubt, would have given Abram loads of praise for what he did. And no doubt he was also there to get back some of the valuables that Abraham had rescued from the other kings. However, when he met the king of Sodom, before that king could say anything, the king of Salem, now I had to actually look on YouTube a video to how to pronounce his name, Melchizedek, I asked Daniel to have a look and see how you pronounce it. And you find the YouTube videos, they're always easy enough. YouTube is great for everything. Melchizedek butted in. He brought out wine and bread, and he said to Abram, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." He reminded Abram that the glory was God's, and that's fill-in number three. As God's workers, we always have to remember the glory is God's. Even though we sometimes want to be popular and pride ourselves of the work we do, we are called to be humble servants of God. Now, the interesting thing about Melchizedek is he, as a character, we don't hear of him neither before nor after this meeting with Abram. He's one of those characters in the Bible we only get to meet for a very short time. Now, why was this king so keen to promote God? Was he not just like the other kings in this story? I mean, all the other kings were kings, but they were also politicians. The answer you get in verse 18, this king was a king, but he was also a priest, which is why he was keen to remind Abram to give God the glory for his victory. Now, you can imagine better the king of Sodom's face when Abram gave away a tenth of the possessions he had recovered. Here he comes and wants his possessions back, and Abram just gives some of it away to another king. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into the tithing argument. However, what we see in today's text, that Abram gave him tenth of everything, it wasn't the tenth of his possessions, it was a tenth of what he had recovered from the other kings. However, the other thing I would like to say is that I urge you to have a conversation with God and give him with a grateful and thankful heart. Now, God doesn't want what we begrudge him. He wants the time and money and the talents that you will pleasingly give him. And that is only one thing. You will know how much you want to give. But as I said, have that conversation with God and then give what you think is right. If we give to receive glory, our gifts are of no benefits. The king of Sodom goes on to offer Abram all the possessions he had recovered. However, Abram did not want anyone but God to be able to claim to be responsible for his success. And that's why he refused to get anything. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We all sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, it's just a second bit. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. As I said, we all sin. However, if you live with sin in your life that you're aware of and that you can do something about, then go to God and ask him to help you cut it out of your life. It will be difficult, especially if it's something that we've done for a long time. I remember when John first started here, when he asked us to try and cut sin from our lives to help this church to prosper and glorify God's kingdom. Now, if this is still something you struggle with, then go to the cross again and ask for help. I'm fully aware that John is off sick, but if you want somebody to pray with, then elders in this church will be more than happy to talk to you and pray with you. God works through men. While we may like to be self-sufficient, that is not God's way. At a critical point in the life of Abram, God sent a man to set him straight and to keep him from taking success too seriously. And this is filler number 5. We thank God for the men and women that God uses in our lives. Now, as I said, I've been there for 25 years and I've had plenty of experience. Obviously, I left my parents at the age of 19 and came here. But I've had plenty of people here who have been parents to me here when I find it hard. And I thank God and for the men and women that have been doing that in my life. And we should also thank God for the fact that he uses us to minister to others at crucial times in life. Lastly, just like Lot had his uncle to come and save him, we have a Savior who will come and save us when we go our own way, which is filler number 6. And to finish off, just a few Bible verses, they'll come up on the screen, but they'll be fairly quick. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Acts 4, chapter 12, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord, Christ Jesus our Lord. He is our amazing Lord and Savior, and we will do well if we keep close to him, follow him, trust him, and obey him. Amen.